Today on Real Radio.
The police officer speeding to the crime scene to make things better or to set things straight. Is he a believer or not? Who knows? But he's doing the right thing. You understand? When somebody who doesn't even know God does the right thing, they're doing righteousness. You understand that?
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David J., thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues in his series of messages where he discusses biblical insights regarding issues and events that are currently affecting our society. This worldview series addresses Pastor Jack's Trinity of Truth, as he calls it, meaning the three top issues that shape our culture today. Knowing this information really helps the believer to be salt and light, especially during election time. Today's lesson is called Politics and Faith, You Being a Christian. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
As he says, I put kings in power and I take them out of power. That doesn't excuse the Christian from being involved. We are to stand for righteousness. Remember this, Proverbs 28 verse 2 says, when the righteous, that is those who do right. It doesn't even mean that they're a believer or not. They do the right thing. That when those who do the right thing are in authority, the people rejoice. But when a wicked man rules, the people groan. You know, every first and third Monday of the month, a street sweeper comes in front of my house. And I appreciate that. Unless my car's parked out there, then I don't appreciate that. But I appreciate that. Now, I don't know if the guy's a believer or not. He's driving the street sweeper. But I'm glad for him. I'm glad he has his job. I'm glad for his big truck. I'm glad for all the junk he picks up off my street, which most of it comes from my trees blowing leaves out in the yard and in the street. He cleans it up. I don't run out there and give him a kiss. I don't give him a high five or a thumbs up. I'm just grateful he's doing that thing. He is at his job doing the right thing, and I'm glad. What's his faith? Is he a believer or not? I have no idea. The police officer speeding to the crime scene to make things better or to set things straight. Is he a believer or not? Who knows? But he's doing the right thing. You understand? When somebody who doesn't even know God does the right thing, they're doing righteousness. Do you understand that? Some Christians, in a naive manner, have said, well, you know, because of that, I can't vote for anybody because neither one of them are Christians. You've completely missed the meaning of that verse. You vote for the person who does the right thing. That's very important. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, the Bible says, therefore, I exhort first of all that supplications and prayers, intercessions and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings or presidents, and all who are in authority, that we may lead. Look what God's will is for your life. Are you guys with me? You're really quiet. Anybody there? That we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. That's how God wants you to live. A quiet, peaceable life with godliness and reverence. Isn't that beautiful? Doesn't that sound good? For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. That's why you vote for the preborn according to the will of God, natural marriage according to the will of God, and in defense of Israel, according to the will of God. Number three, politics and you being a Christian, we are to engage the culture for Jesus. We are to be cultural engagers. And I'm not going to spend much time on this. David, King David, cultural engagement to perfection. King David had no, I love that guy. He had no struggle following God into every area of life. I mean, he was radical. Men love him and women love him. When you read David, men go, yeah! And women go, oh, gosh. Women pray, God, send me a David. And men pray, God, send me a David. He's amazing. Shepherd boy, nice guy, kid. Writes songs, plays his harp, picks up his sword, cuts some guy's head off, sits back down, writes a song. Amazing. David. What about Isaiah? Isaiah was a man of cultural engagement. Isaiah believed in God and was in some of the highest positions in the realm. Jeremiah. Wow, what a job. Jeremiah. God says, Jeremiah, I know you're just a young kid, estimated to be about 16 to 17 years of age when God called him as a prophet. Go speak to the king. Jeremiah says, I can't do that. I'm just a punk. I'm a kid. And Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 4 and 5, God says, listen, don't talk like that. I've ordained you to be a prophet from your mother's womb. Go. This kid goes and obeys the word of God. They beat him up. They throw him in a dungeon. Slap him around. Treat him. You read the book of Jeremiah, they beat the snot out of that guy. And Jeremiah says, is this how it works? He did. God, look, call someone else for a while. I'm not going to speak anymore in your name. And he sat down. And he was silent. And Jeremiah said, as I sat there in silence, God's word was inside my chest and it began to burn like a pot boiling on the stove. And his word just began to come out of me. I couldn't keep quiet. And he had to proclaim to a culture that was godless. What about Daniel? I don't need to talk about Daniel. He confronted his culture. What about Esther? Esther. What about Paul? It's obvious. I mean, Paul, look, Acts 17. He walks into the... Where in the world today? Where's the academia of the world today? Where would it be today? I'm really asking you. I don't... Anybody know? Nobody knows. So there isn't one. I know there's a lot of self-proclaimed regions. Somebody would say Harvard. There are people who would say Berkeley. But you know, we're the thinkers. Paul walks into the center of the thinking universe, Athens, Greece, and he says, you guys are really all a bunch of sweeties, but you're all wrong. There's only one God. And he began to share the nature of God to the Athenians. And they said, what strange things does this babbler say unto us? He speaks about resurrection from the dead and this Jesus whom God raised. And Paul began to speak. And the Bible says when he was in Athens, he, watch this, he went from synagogue. And when synagogue was over, the Bible says you could find, Acts 17, you could find Paul in the marketplaces of Athens reasoning with people regarding God. That's called a witness. That's engaging your culture. Well, Pastor, you don't understand. It's forbidden to speak about Jesus where I work. I understand that. So here's a cool thing. Watch this. Are you listening? Yeah. We're almost done. Here's the thing. Lord, you know it's illegal for me, according to my company, or according to the policy of this institution, or whatever it is, to speak about you. Because I used to work in a place like that. So you know what I did? And I got, in all honesty, Pastor Chuck Smith was teaching in the book of Daniel in 1980, whenever Ronald Reagan got shot. That's my first day on the job. And you have to sign all this stuff about what you will do and will not do. And Pastor Chuck was talking about being a Daniel. And I said, Lord, I looked at the building, 2,000 employees at that location. Lord, it's just me. But Lord, I'm asking you, if it's not right for me to speak about you, then I'm going to ask you, Lord, to have people come to me. Amen. And have them speak to me about you. I really prayed that prayer. And let me tell you, I was there for 13 years. God honored that prayer and people got saved. Not only did people get saved, but against company policy. I was a supervisor of a lab. And when somebody would have problems, human resources would call my boss, who would come over and ask me if I would go down to human resources and talk to a gentleman or a woman about their marriage or about their child's death. I'm serious. God, listen, do you work in an environment like that? Then you pray tomorrow when you show up, Lord, if it's forbidden for me to speak, then you put it upon the hearts of those who you want me to speak to come to me. And God will honor that. I promise you, God will honor that. Engage your culture for Jesus. Number four, we are to look for every opportunity to shine. Every opportunity to shine. Now listen, there are people in political power now, right now, tonight, that have made and are making and will make decisions that will forever affect your marriage, your freedom, your children's mind and emotions, and your money. There are people in power tonight. Do they know you? They don't know you, but they're making decisions that will directly affect your life forever. Think of that. Where are these people? They're in city council chambers. They're in Sacramento. They're in Washington, D.C. And we vote for, we better know the character of whom we're voting for. They get into power, and listen, if we don't hold their feet to the fire, they will make decisions that directly and are diametrically opposed to your Christian biblical worldview. And they'll have you pay for what you don't believe in and give themselves a raise on top of it. It's remarkable. We're to look for every opportunity to shine. Jesus said it this way. I love this. I love this verse. You guys have been hearing a lot about this verse lately, this portion of scripture. Matthew 5:13. You know it by heart now. Jesus said to us, you are the salt of the earth. Yes. Salt is awesome on your eggs. It ain't so great on your cut. Cut yourself and put your hands in some salt and you'll cry like a baby. Salt kills plants, but it preserves meat. Jesus says, you're the salt of the world, of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown down and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. By the way, that's a title that exclusively belongs to Jesus. Did you know that? Jesus said first, I am the light of the world. Then he turns around to the Christian and says, you are the light of the world. That's radical. Yes. My goodness. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket. I mean, that's kind of stupid if you think about that. But they put it on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, that's opportunity, look for it, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. As a Christian, you and I have a solemn, holy opportunity to vote righteously. We are to be honest. We are not to be bigots. We are not to be racist. We are to be Christians and be biblical. We are to do what is right. This is so serious. As Christians, you and I are to do what is right, regardless of popularity or trends, political correctness, likability, or situations, we are to do the right thing. No matter what, God is seated on his throne. And all of this political stuff will one day be evaporated. You say, well, what's the point? God is looking to you and I to see the decisions we make. We're the ones that are being tested. Will America call out to God? America's suffering tonight. And I'm waiting to hear, maybe it's been said, I don't know. But some of you young people tonight, you're going to say, man, what are you, a dinosaur? Apparently. But do you some old-timers, some of you old-timers, do you remember this? Do you remember when, for example, the Gemini space program happened? And in public school, in Orange County, everyone was summoned to the multi-purpose room to sit there in front of a little black and white TV set. And in public school in Orange County, we were asked to join in prayer with our principal for the astronauts to re-enter the atmosphere safely. I'll never forget it. And I remember when Apollo 13 happened and America was praying. Political leaders, public leaders, church leaders, civic leaders were asking America to pray. Even when September 11th, 2001 happened, people prayed. People automatically went to churches. This little church, 1,000 people came on September 11th, 2001, on a Tuesday night, automatically, without an announcement, no internet, no phones, no nothing, 1,000 people came to pray. Doing the right thing. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, one of the most famous funeral verses, second only to the 23rd Psalm, Ecclesiastes 3. Everybody's read it, but few people understand it. Solomon was in his old age, and he's saying, you know what? In fact, this is a very cool passage. I'll read it to you in a second. Solomon was saying this. After all the things I've seen in life, after all the things that have happened, I now have a biblical worldview. And here it is. Chapter 3, verse 1. To everything there is a season. A time for every purpose under heaven. This is so wise. In this world, have a biblical worldview. Because the world's nuts. A time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, and a time to harvest or to pluck what has been planted. A time to kill, meaning war, and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. He went on, verse 5, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones. There's a time to embrace and there's a time to refrain from embracing. So that wouldn't be proper. A time to gain and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to throw away. A time to tear and a time to sow. A time to keep silence and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time of war and a time of peace. That is a biblical worldview in reality. There's a lot of people who do not live in reality anymore. Things come out of their mouth, absolutely irresponsible thinking, not understanding. We live in a fallen world. People say things like, oh, if you believe in a God of love, then how come I just saw a lion eat a little gazelle over there? Because of sin. You want to blame somebody? Don't blame God. Blame man. Adam and Eve messed that up. There's a worldview that's biblically based. This is from Ben Franklin, July 28, 1787. And I believe, and when I read this verse in Ecclesiastes, it made me think of this quote from Franklin, Benjamin Franklin. Now, when he said this, he's an old man now. He had been raised having faith, then he walked away from his faith for most of his life. Franklin came back to his faith in his latter days. He's an old man right now, July 28, 1787. Listen to what he says. To that kind providence we owe this happy opportunity of consulting in peace on the means of establishing our future national felicity. And we have we now forgotten that powerful friend? Or do we imagine that we no longer need his assistance? I have lived, sir, a long time. He's speaking to the Continental Congress. Oh, by the way, a political body. And the longer I live, the more convincing proofs I see of this truth. Here comes this biblical worldview that God governs in the affairs of men. And if a sparrow cannot fall to the ground without his notice, is it probable that an empire can rise without his aid? We have been assured, sir, in the sacred writings, that's the Bible, that, he quotes Psalm 127, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. I firmly believe this. And I also believe that without his concurring aid, we shall succeed in this political building no better than the builders of Babel. Benjamin Franklin. In Congress. Do you know what happened? When he got done, you can read this online. It's all there. When he got done speaking this, they adjourned. They went across the street and they prayed. The entire Congress got on their knees and prayed. Led by this speech by Benjamin Franklin. And so listen, as I said earlier, I've already voted. And some people I voted for are not Christians. Why? Why did I vote for them? Well, because they have the voting record that I'm looking for. Pro-life, pro-marriage, pro-Israel. And they're not even Christians, but I voted for them. Why? Because I can look at God in the face and say, Lord, like you, God, used Darius, Nebuchadnezzar, and Cyrus, unbelievers of the ancient world, to get about your will. So I prayed for, in alignment with your Bible, this man who stood, or this woman who stood in their voting record. Some people I voted for might be a Christian, I don't know. But they have a righteous voting record, and so I voted for them. I checked the box. And some people I voted for are definitely Christians. And I voted for them. Why? Because they're Christians? Listen, hello. I did not vote for them because they were Christians. I have voted in times past where I know that the man's name on the ballot, he's a professing Christian and he even attends church sometimes. And I didn't vote for him. I voted for the non-believer. You want to know why? Because the non-believer had a more biblically based voting record. Don't tell me you're a Christian. I could care less what comes out of your mouth. Voting records never lie. Oh, politicians lie. Yes, they do. But it's incumbent upon you to dig into their voting record and find out where their true mind is at.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a presentation called Politics and Faith, You Being a Christian. It's part of a worldview series that we've presented these last couple of weeks here on Real Radio. Our hope is that it's helped you in deciding on candidates and ballot measures come November. On our next broadcast, we'll resume Pastor Jack's verse-by-verse series through 2 Corinthians. That's coming up on Monday's edition of Real Radio. Now, this series is available for you on a set of CDs, 5 messages in all, and it goes by the same title, Politics and Faith. Our offer, here it is, for your gift of any amount to this broadcast outreach known as Real Radio, we'll send it to you. You'll hear once again Pastor Jack's Trinity of Truth, which is crucial information to have at election time. So once again, we'll send you this series, Politics and Faith, by Pastor Jack, in a 5 CD set for your gift of any amount to Real Radio. You can call, click, or write. Just be sure to mention it by name, Politics and Faith. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. You could also call us if you'd like, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Or if you'd prefer, write to us and ask for the CD set by name, the Politics and Faith series. Just send your gift and request to our mailing address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Of course, all of our contact info can be always found at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.